In the name of God, the Holy, the Divine Trinity. Amen. By the way, that hymn that we just sang contains some of the oldest Christian liturgy we have, word for word. As grain once scattered on the hillside was in this broken bread made one. Comes from the Didache, which was published in about, or was written in about 112 to 115. So you're doing early church today, even though it's late. About our gospel, those kids playing wedding and funeral that nobody would play. This generation is just never happy. That much is perfectly clear. Can you blame them? There's clearly a right way and a wrong way to do make-believe weddings and funerals, playing flute and dancing or keening and wailing and all that. And there is clearly a correct attitude to have about ascetical practices like John the Baptist, and proper judgment and discretion about one's dinner companions, about how much one eats and whether one drinks too much, like Jesus. And it seems that neither John nor Jesus had it right. This generation seems like they're just going to take their marbles and go home. One just can't play or have dinner with folks who just won't follow the rules. Now, the funny thing about this is that Jesus and John are really, really different. Opposites in a lot of ways. But different as they are, and as differently as they seem to view the world, their respective values and experiences have some similarities. Neither John nor Jesus seems to need to have the last word, the only word. It's kind of strange since neither of them is particularly shy about expressing an opinion. By contrast, this generation won't even talk. They're never happy unless things and everyone else conform exactly to their own sense of how the world ought to be. Their glass is always half empty, never half full. It's like a whole generation of Eeyore. Remember the donkey from Winnie the Pooh, the pessimist? Eeyore is never disappointed because he always expects the worst. So this generation needs everyone to have everyone else to follow the rules. They act like it's up to them to make sure the rules are defined and that everyone follows them. Does this remind you of anything? A lot of our public discourse, for example. Now, in fairness, it has to be noted this is St. Matthew's gospel. And Matthew has a couple of things on his agenda. He's writing for a Jewish audience of Jesus' followers who disagree with another Jewish group called the Pharisees. In other words, Gentiles are just not on Matthew's radar. Everyone in the conversation is Jewish. So it's kind of a family argument between followers of Jesus and the Pharisees, who had particular interest and concern in observing the law carefully and thoroughly. So it's understood by everybody who hears this passage that it's not the law itself that's the problem. It's rather using it against other people, using it to cut off people with a different perspective. Matthew wants to make it clear that it's what one does, especially in relation to others, that matters, more than whether one subscribes to the correct train of thought. Throughout this passage, Matthew is quoting the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was used at that time by Greek-speaking Jews. He refers to it both directly and indirectly. Now, these are references that his hearers would have picked up on immediately. The part about things hidden from the wise and revealed to infants, all things handed over, and no one knowing the Father but the Son. Those are all riffs on wisdom as personified in the book of Proverbs and in what we call Ecclesiasticus, but like the Roman Catholics call Sirach, and also on that account of Exodus in Moses, where Moses talks with God as one would talk to a friend. So what Matthew is suggesting by all this quoting and half-quoting is that Sophia, the personification of wisdom, of divine presence, is to be found in Jesus and that Jesus is clearly in the same tradition as Moses, because both are known and know God. Both speak with God as with a friend. And this is interesting because knowing that Matthew is referencing these other texts gives another dimension to the part that we hear most often. Of course, I'm talking about the end, which if you go, usually go to the 8 o'clock, right, one service during the year. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In Proverbs, Lady Wisdom, Sophia says, you that are simple, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. In Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, she says, come to me, you who desire me, and eat your fill of my fruits. For the memory of me is sweeter than honey, and the possession of me is sweeter than the honeycomb. Jesus says, come to me, and the weary receive rest. Heavy burdens are light. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And yokes. Yokes help focus effort. They enable work. Jesus' yoke being light. These are oxymorons. Heavy burdens are light. Yokes, things you put on to do work, are easy. But they help enable work. It's Jesus' yoke. So yoked with Jesus gives us freedom from that awful responsibility of running the world, of being sure everybody else is doing the right things. The submission and discipline of the yoke, of learning from Jesus up close and personal. What's that like? How can we learn since Jesus is Jesus and we're not? Now, theologian Marcus Forbes tried to summarize some of the legal-sounding propositional language that we use, like, for instance, in the creeds, 2,000 years of theology compressed into short statements. Forbes tried to summarize that for us in our modern day. What does that really mean in terms of living our everyday lives? He wrote, Jesus is, for us as Christians, what a life filled with God looks like. Everyone's got burdens. Some are burdened with poverty, hunger, fear, injustice, oppression, lack of education, lack of health care, employment, unemployment, addiction, age, no opportunities, no home. For ourselves, for our loved ones. Everybody's got heavy burdens of one sort or another. And they are wearying. But there is rest and refreshment. And the secret of bearing even heavy burdens as if they were light is to be learned by giving up that dubious freedom of being responsible for the outcomes, of being responsible for the world, of being responsible for everybody else's behavior. What it takes is the yoke of following Jesus, of sharing that yoke. Jesus, who is gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul.